Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have loved us beyond our comprehension. Father, you've called us out of darkness and into your wonderful light that we might declare the praises of you. Give us hearts that are filled with your presence. Give us souls that are filled with your love. Help us, Father, to not only love you above all else, but love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our gospel reading for today, in the 12th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus is already in Jerusalem for the last time. He's already come in to Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, riding in on a donkey. He's cleansed the temple, and he's teaching his disciples. Mark only goes to 16 chapters, so we're very near the end. The Sadducees and Pharisees and Herodians have all been ratcheting up their attempts to discredit Jesus. And so just before the scribe talks to Jesus about our text for today, and by the way, I'm not going to talk about the David and Messiah. I'm just going to stick to the two greatest commandments. The Sadducees had tried to trick him up with a question about marriage. They tried to trick him up about a question about paying taxes. But they weren't pure. They were just trying to discredit him. And I think this scribe, and a scribe is someone who writes down scripture. They didn't have printing presses then. So a scribe would be the person that would make copies. He would mark every single part of the Bible down over and over and over again. So he was interested, I think, genuinely, on what Jesus thought about these things. And so he went to Jesus and he asked him, what is the most important? Not only what is first, we all know what the first commandment is, right? You shall have no other gods before me. Right. He said, what is the most important? What is the most significant commandment? What is the one thing, two things that you can tell me that will change my life so that I can live a full, satisfied life? And so Jesus lays it out. It's a roadmap for us people of God. It's a roadmap for how we should be living our lives. The first thing is to love the Lord your God. Oh, the Lord your God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. You shall love him with all of your heart. How did the song go? Your soul? All your might, all your strength, all of these things, everything that we are to love God. We're not supposed to have any other loyalties outside of that. Don't let anything interfere with our relationship with God. And the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what are some things then that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Simple, right? Just two easy things. You don't even have to write it down. It's just going to stick in your head. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbors yourself, right? Until you get out in the car and you start driving down the freeway. And someone does something that's unpleasant to you. Or you're in this grocery store and someone does something. Or you're around other people. There was a Peanuts cartoon once that Lucy was complaining about how much she didn't like people. And Charlie Brown said, I thought you loved humanity. And Lucy says, I do love humanity. It's people I can't stand. So we like each other in this group form, but when it gets to individual, so what is it that stands in the way of that? Well, I have some theories about that I think the Bible kind of bears them out as well. One of the things is we don't really appreciate who we are in Christ. We don't have a real high self-esteem. Now, the title of my message to you today is Baptism in Self-Esteem. Now, why would I talk about self-esteem when it comes to loving God and loving others? Well, we have to know who we are. We have to know how valuable we are to God in order for us to be able to put that value on to others. We've got to understand how much God loves us before we can love others that much. And that's the thing, is because we don't always get that in the world. There are people that have never received that at home. There's people that have been beaten. There's people that have been abused. There's people that have been criticized. There's been people that have been mocked. There's marriages that are like that. There's all kinds of relationships that just go wrong. And it's hard for you to stand on your own two feet when someone that's supposed to be taking care of you tells you that you're garbage. Well, that's a lie. That's the devil's talk. God's talk is this: you are valuable. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, "For we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship." Listen to this. "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do." The Greek word for workmanship is what? You guys remember from the first service? Somebody? Poema. Poema. You didn't know there was going to be a test. You had to take better notes. Poema. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's creative brilliance. We are, more than anything else he's ever done, God takes delight in you. Say that. God takes delight in me. God takes delight in me. Say it again. Let's say it one more time. God takes delight in me. Now look at the person sitting next to you and say, God takes delight in you. He does. God absolutely is delighted with you. Now how can he? How can he be when God even knows every thought that we have? Could you imagine ever wanting to go out anywhere? If we had this big projector over our head that broadcast every single thought that we ever had, how many of you would ever leave the house? Yeah, I'd be wearing a jacket that would be big enough to cover that, that's for sure. But God knows that. But God knows every single thought that we have, and yet God loves you anyway. You see, God wants to shape us. God, there's nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. God absolutely loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. He wants to shape you. He wants to mold you. He wants you to become more and more like him so you can experience the fullness of God in your life. He wants you to experience the fullness of God in your life. The devil doesn't. The devil wants us to think badly about ourselves and about other people. John chapter 10 says, the enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it in abundance. That's what God wants us to have. And it happens when we recognize who we are. In the waters of our baptisms, God placed his seal on you. You are a child of God, no matter what anybody else says. You know, I love this old saying that says, what God knows about you is far more important than what others think about you. Amen? What God knows, and what God knows about you is you're his child. I baptized all three of these youngsters, and now I have the pleasure of confirming them. What a joy. You didn't have a choice in the first one, but you had a choice in this one. Kind of a choice. Yeah, it would have been a tough sell to tell your parents you didn't want to go to confirmation. But yeah. Forget about it. Huh? But at any rate, you're here and you finished it and you're done. You're confirming the vows that your parents made for you in baptism, that you would learn about how much God loves you and how much God cares for you. So once we understand that no matter what others say about us, that God loves us. You know, I was at a men's retreat one time. And it was a group called the Water Boys for Jesus in Frederick, Maryland. And we were out on the Potomac River in Virginia. And the teacher said, guys, don't get your affirmation from Eve, from your wife, from the woman. Get it from God. You know, it struck me as kind of funny because aren't we supposed to get our affirmation from the one that we love? But the point that he was making is that when you get your affirmation from someone you love, they can also have the power to withhold that affirmation. They can make you feel terrible. If you're counting on them and them alone for your affirmation, you're setting yourselves up for some great disappointment. But get it first, get it foremost from God, who will never, ever stop loving you, who loves you through every single thing, whether you've been good, whether you've been naughty, whether you've been nice, no matter what, God loves you. And he's never going to change that. Get your affirmation from God. And then the rest of the stuff is not quite as significant. I'm not going to try to talk you into saying it's not significant, because it is. Our earthly relationships are very important, which is why he said that's the next great commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So who's your neighbor? The person you're sitting next to right now? Person, I'm your neighbor? Yeah, I'm your neighbor. We had, so Mr. Rogers had that great show, his neighborhood. He had all kinds of people stop by. We are neighbors, everyone in the whole world. So is it just straight white Lutherans that's my neighbor that I need to reach out to? What about atheists? What about gays? What about blacks? What about people that don't speak my language? What about fill in the blank? Yeah, everyone. Jesus was pretty clear on that. Jesus was pretty clear on that. He says, love your neighbors as yourself. He didn't say only white, German, Missouri Synod Lutherans. He said, love everybody as yourself. Why? Because God loves everybody. He doesn't love you any more than anybody else. I mean, don't think that that's going to water it down, because God's love is deeper than the ocean. He can love everyone equally, and you can still be loved beyond your wildest dreams. But just because he loves someone else doesn't take anything away from you. We get to add to it by loving others. And this is how it works. This is how our lives become happy. This is how our lives become purpose-filled. Is when we understand the depth, and I'm sure that you share my excitement about this. When we understand God's depth of the love for us, that I know who I am, I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what my income is. It doesn't matter if I work in a shipyard or if I dress in a suit and stand here and preach to you, and I've had both of those jobs. It doesn't matter what I do. What matters is that I am a child of God. That's the status I have. I am an heir of everything visible and invisible, and so are you. The Rockefeller's kid have anything on you? No, they got nothing on you. We are children of God. Hold your heads up when you go out into the world. And because you're secure in who you are, it's okay to love other people. It's okay to share with other people. Because God is not some kind of cosmic killjoy that stands up there with a lightning bolt waiting to strike you as soon as you step out of line. God is a loving father that, yeah, he will nurture you. Yeah, he will bring you on the right path, but then he will forgive you. That's what life's all about. I'm so worried about young people today when it comes to things like social media. The people are brutal. I mean, it's bad enough having bullies in classrooms, but you go online. Do you know how much the suicide rate went up for 8 to 13-year-old girls? Like 750% since Facebook started. People will say whatever they want to you. Don't let them convince you. Don't give them power over you. Know who you are. You are a child. We sing this beautiful song in this service. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am who you say I am. You can't take that away. Don't let anybody make you feel that you're not enough, because you certainly are. And so is your neighbor. Okay, I think I've said that about 10 times too often. So we'll just move on. Baptism gives us self-esteem, gives us Christ esteem. When we're loved and given a purpose, we're able to love others. So to wrap it up, God's plan for your life: love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.